your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18. We'll be looking in verses 6 through 16. We're continuing our series through David, the life and lessons of a king. The title of today's message is A Dangerous Song. And also, I know we've got a lot of an-alsos today, but immediately following the service, after I go to the back and I shake some guest hands, I want to share just a 10-minute sort of state of the church, where we're at in 2019 and where we want to be going for 2020. So if you're a church member, or just if you're interested at all, please stick around for 10 minutes after the service, and I'll be going over that very briefly. I thank every one of you for helping me with my sermon this week. I asked for help with famous jingles that you could remember throughout the year. It's amazing how effective jingles are in commercials and TV, and the things that I can remember from 15, 20 years ago, and I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. So I'm just gonna give you a little bit, and I want you to help me in this process. I think you guys can help me with some jingles. I want to see how effective these are. So if I said we are farmers, and you'd say, okay, you got it right. It was a little disorganized, but okay. And if I said tums, there you go. That's right. This is really fun on my part. Why? If I said ba 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 ba, you'd say. There you go. Okay, we're getting close. This is one of my favorite ones. I said, Red Robin. There you go. Oh, that's good. That's what you are all thinking at 12 o'clock is yum, and you're ready for lunch, and I'm still preaching. But it's amazing how these jingles get stuck in our head, how effective they are in marketing. Today we're going to be looking at a jingle that effectively brought down a king, and brought another king to power. You see, to learn about David is to learn about Saul. For all the right decisions that David makes in 1 Samuel, Saul makes almost all the wrong decisions. So it's hard to learn about David without learning about King Saul. Particularly the point of today's message, and I hope that your hearts are ready and attuned for God's word, is that we must purge envy and jealousy from our lives and learn to celebrate others. So let's read God's word. We're going to pray, and then we'll get started. So 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 16. And as they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, with musical instruments. So if you weren't here last week, we talked about David and Goliath, how God used David to strike down the mighty heathen giant Goliath. This is a great victory for Israel and personally for David. Look at verse 7. It says, and the women sang to one another as they celebrate. Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000. That's a pretty succinct little jingle. Verse 8, and Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands, and what more can he have done but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre. And as he did day by day, Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. when Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. We've come here to worship your great name. So Father, I pray that you would speak to us through your word today. Lord, I pray that I would decrease and that you would increase. I pray that the Spirit would move in hearts. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get into some application, I just wanted to give an overview kind of the story. First, we see that envy begins to sow its seeds in verses 6 through 9. On the way home from an incredible, impossible victory, evil and envy begin to sneak in. The women come out and begin singing, which was likely a custom in Israel. You see this several times and throughout the Old Testament that the women come out and sing in such a manner. You think that they sang with joy and with celebration. These were grateful mothers and grateful daughters and grateful wives, and they were celebrating what could have been and what actually did happen, and had God had been victorious through the Israelites. They said that Saul had killed thousands and David 10,000. I don't think that when we first read this, it sounds like they're kind of looking for trouble, right? To say that to a king. But I think that their point simply is that Saul's been victorious and David's been victorious. God's people have been victorious. And so they are celebrating together. They're not rubbing salt in a wound and trying to really stick it to Saul. But Saul instantly recognizes a conversation that the people didn't know that he had. In chapter 15, verse 28, Saul is told that because of his sin, because of his rebellion against God, that his kingdom will be torn away from him. It has been torn away from him, and it's been given to a neighbor. And all of a sudden, the wires and the situation all starts clicking together. And Saul realizes that neighbor, that new king, that anointed one, is David. And Saul's not too happy about that. Saul grew to hate this song. He heard this song several times throughout his life. He would talk to his enemies and they said, we've heard about David and we've heard about you because of this song. And he's talked to other people and they mention this horrible song that Saul begins to hate. Now here's the thing to realize. They were still praising Saul, just not as much. Right? They're not talking bad about Saul in this song. They're praising him. Hey, you've done a great job. You're a great king. You have a great mighty warrior. But Saul didn't see it that way. Our text says in verse 8 that Saul grew very angry. The word there literally means to burn within. You ever been that angry? Boy, you just feel like you're boiling inside. And that's what happened to Saul. And then it said, verse 9 says, and Saul eyed David from that point on. This means to look at jealously and suspiciously. He was giving David the stink eye from that point on. You know, when you've been driving by somebody and they're being crazy and they're riding your tail or doing something they're not supposed to do, and you pull up beside them in the traffic light, I like to give them that dirty look. It's like, I know what you were doing. You know what you were doing. I'm looking at them suspiciously. In a much more serious way, this is what Saul was doing. He was watching David very carefully, looking for when David would mess up. So what was good became bad. This was a great situation. This was a great victory. But envy and jealousy had snuck in and had become a bad thing. So then we look at the next scene in verses 10 through 11. So the next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre. And as he did this day by day, Saul had a spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him twice. But then we see envy moves from the inside to the outside. Saul was burning within. He was angry. And now we see him acting out in his anger. A harmful spirit came upon Saul, and he tried to kill David. This was a reoccurring event. See, the spirit had left Saul because of Saul's disobedience and his arrogance. And the Bible says a harmful spirit came upon Saul. Now, people can make much of this, and it's hard to know exactly what the scripture means by this, but it sure seems to be a supernatural punishment from God because of Saul's disobedience. You see, Saul was a leader. He was set up in a prominent position, and to disregard and disobey the Lord, and he was punished by the Lord because of that. We see that he hears David playing the lyre, which is an instrument, and we see the depths of David's loyalty, because Saul, who was a mighty warrior, the Bible says he was strong and head and shoulders above the other men, so he was a capable warrior, and he flings his spear out of anger at David. And I'm telling you, one time is about as many times as I'm going to stick around for somebody to throw a spear at me. He wants to pin David to the wall. But David, out of loyalty and respect for Saul, seems to stick around for some reason. And Saul hurls another one at him. And really, we can see from verse 12, it seems like because God was with him, David was able to evade in maybe ways he couldn't do otherwise. But Saul was losing his mind, and David was extremely loyal. A jealousy will do that to you, make you look silly, make you act out. Now, I remember in the 90s, man, there was a group called Hanson. I don't know if any of you guys remember this. And all the girls around loved this stinking group, man. And all these guys had this long blonde hair, and the girls all liked guys with long blonde hair. And I've got short, bushy hair. And if I let it grow out, it gets poofier, not longer. And so my brother and I, we had this great plan. And so we decided that it would be a great idea to bleach our hair blonde. But when I got brown hair, so when really dark brown hair, so when I bleached it, it turned kind of like an orangey color. And so instead of impressing the ladies, I was repulsing them at an advanced rate. Jealousy makes you look silly. It makes you look stupid. I got a lot of other stories I could tell that I'm not going to share. Yeah, but what stirred on the inside manifests itself on the outside. Look at verses 12 through 16. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in and before the people. And David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David. He went out and came in before them. You see, envy brings down instead of up. See, Saul feared David because the Lord was with him. If you see, Saul is really angry with God. He's not really angry with David. You see, remember, it was God that left Saul in a special Holy Spirit anointing sort of way. It was God that had chosen David. It was God that had sent this harmful spirit upon Saul. And so Saul was actually angry with God, but he can't take it out on God, so he begins to take it out on David. David hadn't done anything wrong. David had been loyal. But God was with David, and that made Saul very angry. There's people that aren't going to have any real reason to be upset with you except that God is with you. That God's presence is clear in your life, and it's going to make them jealous, and it's going to make them angry. But you can't stop being blessed by God. See, Saul tries another approach. He sends David out to war. Hopefully, maybe Saul's thinking is that maybe he'll fail. Maybe he really won't be a great leader. He's just this little shepherd boy, and maybe he'll fail, and the people will see him as a failure. Or maybe better yet, he'll die, and then he becomes somebody else and won't be a problem at all at this point. We see that David succeeds four times in this chapter. In chapter 18, the Bible says that David succeeds because the Lord was with him. The word success here is related to the word wise and teachable. Even though David was young, he handled this celebrity in a way that most young people can't. We look at all the young Hollywood stars, and we know, you know, the Macaulay Culkins of the world, and they start with a lot of celebrity, and man, it just blows up in their face. But David was this rare figure, this young person who lived in obscurity and insignificance, become one of the most famous people in Israel, but he handles it with grace. See, David rises in popularity while Saul falls. Desiring to rise, Saul fell. There's a lot to learn from this passage, particularly with jealousy and envy in mind. See, biblically speaking, jealousy and envy are sometimes interchangeable. But jealousy is not always bad. Like when the Bible says that God is a jealous God, it's not that God is jealous of the things that we have. God is jealous for us. He loves his children. He wants special, intimate relationship with them, and he doesn't want our hearts to love things that are lesser things. It's not a wrong thing when a husband is appropriately jealous when his wife or somebody is giving affection to his wife that only a husband should give. That's an appropriate thing, or a wife can be appropriately jealous. The Bible never speaks well of envy. Let me give you a little definition of that. The envy wants what others have. Jealousy fears losing what we already possess. Let me read that again. Envy wants what others have, and jealousy fears losing what we already possess. The one is nearsighted and one is farsighted. One can only see what other people have, and one can only see what they have so closely to the exclusion of others. One reaches way too far, and one strangles and holds on too tightly. When I was in New Mexico and living around ranchers, I learned a great deal about that lifestyle, and I learned that a coyote is way too small to attack a full-grown cow. But what they can do is they can attack a mom and its babies, and even then they're still not strong enough to do it. But they can get the mama cow so worried and so worked up that she actually will trample her own baby and loses what she has. We're not careful. Sometimes we hold on to things too tightly, and we squeeze and strangle and trample the blessings that God has given us. The envy is legal robbery that happens in the mind and the heart. Nobody goes to jail for the things that we wish they didn't have and the things that we wish we had in their place, and we steal from people and want to put them in our own lives. There's nothing more than legal robbery. See, Saul was both jealous and envious of David. You find jealousy and envy everywhere. On the playground, in boardrooms, with toys and with titans, the rich and the poor. The Bible says that envy and jealousy are a plague, that they are a poison to your heart. They're a poison to your soul. And every one of us, to a certain extent, is afflicted by this disease. And depending on what you do with it will depend on the life that you'll have in Christ Jesus. See, jealousy and envy are powerful forces. You ever heard somebody said, "I'm eaten up with jealousy," right? We don't say that about other things, but said, "I'm just eaten up with it." It's a great way to describe it. It eats your soul from the inside out, the blessings that you do have that are good things, they get eaten up, and all we're left is dust, and the things that we want, we cannot have. So here's, I want to look at a couple of dangers, and I want to look at a couple of principal kind of action points, and then we'll call it a day. Here's a couple of dangers, and Rick Warren helped me kind of think through this process a little bit. Here's one of the dangers of jealousy and envy. First of all, is it denies my uniqueness. It denies my uniqueness. Did you know God made you just the way he wanted to make you? He wasn't confused. He doesn't make accidents. He gave you the personality that he gave you. He gave you the position in the past that you have, the passions and the desires that you have that are good. God gave you those. God made you on the outside just what he wanted, and he gave you the personality on the inside just the way he wanted. And when you are trying to be somebody else, you're denying that uniqueness that God made you to be. You know, you would be a lousy me. And I'd be a lousy you. There's a lot of ways that people are interchangeable with gifts and abilities, but at the end of the day, God created me to be me. He gave me my past, my personality. He gave me all this position. This is what God has given me. And you'd be a lousy me. I'd be a lousy you. That's just the way that God created. Unique. Out of the billions and billions of people that have walked the face of the earth, and walk it now, that you are unique. And we long to be what other people are. It denies that uniqueness that God has given us. See, jealousy and envy, they hit you where you are. They hit you in a personal attack. There's a lot of things that other people care about that I don't care about. I don't like big trucks. Those are useless to me. But I know a lot of guys, man, that's what they want, man. They like a big truck. But I've got things that I care about and things that I'm sensitive about and things that I'm striving for. And that's where my temptations hit me. And you have unique goals and unique temptations as a result. And that's where envy and that's where jealousy are going to find attack that weak spot. We've got to be on our guard against these attacks from the evil one. It denies my uniqueness, but it divides my attention. If I'm trying all my effort into trying to be you, then I can't be me. Right? And if you're trying to be me, I'm not sure why you would be, but if you want to try to be me, you can't be you. Whether that's on the outer part or the inner part, it divides our attentions. Another danger is it leads to many other sins. Listen with me in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Jealousy and selfishness and ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. The problem with jealousy and envy is many times they can lead to other even more egregious sins. And if you watch Dateline, how many times it started off that this guy was jealous of what that guy had or what that guy did, and that's why this guy killed that guy. That's a lot of Dateline. There's a lot of things that jealousy and envy will pull you to do that you should not be doing. When they begin to bury into your heart and burrow into your heart, it only leads to more evil things. I remember one time I said I was going to stop telling embarrassing stories about myself, but I got one more here for you. I remember there was a buddy of mine. He was kind of burly and more burly. And and he was and we were helping. I was helping him move, and I was helping him carry something. But I learned pretty quickly somewhere along the way that I couldn't carry what he was carrying. But I was embarrassed to admit it because I'm a man. And so somewhere along the way, we managed to get where we got, but I managed to hurt myself in the process. I know no man over here has ever done anything like that. Jealousy, envy, weighs you down. You're trying to be what other people are. Denying what God has made you to be, it begins to weigh you down and can cause you harm. So there's great dangers in jealousy and envy. Here's a couple principles, a couple action points that, hey, starting today, starting this very moment, I can do these things and help give me victory over this evil plague, this evil poison of my soul. Principle, action point number one. Remember who you are in Christ. Understand that he was rejected. He was accepted. We were rejected, or he was rejected because of our sin, but we were accepted in Christ Jesus. Because he was despised, we could be loved by the Father. Don't forget who you are in Christ. We talked a lot about this last week. When you understand who you are in Christ, the abilities he's given you, the goals and plans and purposes he has for you, you don't have to try to be other people. Because Christ is in you, empowering you to be who you are supposed to be. Remember who you are in Christ. I don't have to be you, and you don't have to be me. Next principle, stop comparing yourself to other people. These are the only options when we compare ourselves to other people. It's pride or discouragement. Those are the only options. If I can see somebody who I think is lesser than me by whatever category I want to label that, that leads to pride. And the Bible says that pride goeth before the what, church? Before the fall. That's not a good place to be at. Or if I see somebody and then I say, man, look what they got. I could never be that. And either I sure wish I could do this or I had those things or look this way. That's going to lead to discouragement and envy. Stop comparing yourselves to other people. No good comes from comparing yourselves to other people. Stop doing it. No good has ever come from it. We can be jealous over all sorts of things. There is nothing so petty in our minds and our hearts and nothing too big that we won't be jealous and envious over. I've seen people, and I've dealt with some of these just like you have, people being jealous over someone else's athletic ability. Someone's hair. If somebody could sing, somebody's muscles, somebody's height or job, or maybe you have trouble when you see that baby announcement come in the mail and you don't have one yet, or you see that wedding announcement come in the mail and you don't have that yet. People are jealous of cars and of homes. 1 Corinthians 13:4 is a chapter that we're all very familiar with called the love chapter. It says, love does not envy. And if we are going to love, which is the great commandment of Jesus, you can't envy at the same time. Love does not envy. It infects your marriages, it infects your workplaces, it infects all of your relationships with other people. We have to understand that marketing almost exclusively is tailored at these two sins, jealousy and envy. You understand that? You watch TV for just a couple of moments. You watch a couple of commercials. You listen to the radio. Understand that jealousy and envy are the tool that they have used for decades and maybe thousands of years, depending on what you count as commercials. Say, you don't have what you need what they've got. It's a powerful tool. Be careful how much you have. And then it can be something like you know, shampoo, and this shampoo is going to make you more likable by your friends, and you'll be more popular. It doesn't matter what it is or what the product could be, but it's all geared towards that. We got to be careful. We got to be careful on that intake. It begins to seep into our minds, into our hearts, and I don't need any more help in a jealous and envy department. Remember who you are in Christ. Stop comparing yourself to others. Celebrate others. Are you with me, church? Celebrate others. You know, we're a lot better. And the Bible says, weep with those who weep. I think a lot of people are pretty good at that. And we can cry with somebody who's hurting, and we should. But it also says, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And we are to celebrate other people. But it's harder. People don't do nearly as good a job as celebrating what other people have accomplished and what they can do. We must celebrate other people. Pray for other people. If you're struggling with jealousy, you're struggling with envy at what other people have accomplished or what they've got, pray for that person. I can remember when I was wrestling with this in my life and found that, man, this guy is somebody I want to celebrate. I don't want to compete against them. I don't want to compare myself with them. I want to pray for them. I want to celebrate with them. You know what? That poison begins to be sucked out of your heart, and it begins to be filled with joy that comes from God. Here's this. Here's this truth. If you're only happy when you're happy, you're not going to be happy very often, right? Man, my circumstances, they ebb and they flow and they're all over the place. But if you're happy when other people are happy, then you have a lot more happiness and joy in your life. Are you with me? So, man, hey, celebrate when you celebrate. When something good has happened in your life, celebrate that. But you learn to celebrate when other people have good things going on in your life, then you get all sorts of joy multiplied over and over in your life. Learn to celebrate other people. And, man, envy and jealousy gets sucked out of your heart and is filled with joy. Practice thankfulness. Who God is and what he's done. I'm just thankful for who God is. Yeah, I'm thankful for the gifts that he's given and the work he's done in my life. But man, I'm thankful that I've got a God who rules supremely, who is in charge, who is just, who is kind, who is compassionate. Those truths fill my mind with joy and comfort and peace. I practice those thankfulness. Practice thankfulness over the things he has given you. Man, what blessing. Think of the blessings that you have. Jealousy and envy are counting the blessings of other people. Count the blessings that God has given you. 1 Timothy 6:6 said, godliness and contentment are great gain. You must purge envy and jealousy from our lives and learn to celebrate other people. And I'll close with this story. This fictional story is told of two shopkeepers who were bitter rivals. One had one shop on one side of the street and the other had his on the other side. And when a customer would come in, one shopkeeper would look across the other street side of the street and smile. The other one would do the same, and they were always competing and comparing themselves with each other. And then the story goes that an angel came down to one of the shopkeepers and said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bless you, but for every blessing that I give you, your rival across the street will get it twofold. So if you ask for riches, he's going to get twice as many riches. You'll still be rich, he'll get twice as many. If you ask for good, long health and a good, strong life, he said he's going to get a longer life and a healthier life, but you're both going to get it. And the angel said, what do you desire? And the cruel-hearted shopkeeper said, strike me blind in one eye. Such is the way of jealousy and envy. I can't celebrate what I want to celebrate, and I can't celebrate the goodness in your life because it poisons the soul. Brothers and sisters, you will not be an effective representative of Christ Jesus. Won't be effective for the kingdom if you have this poison in your heart.